Welcome to the Empowerment Zone with Ramona Houston, where we zone in on Black and Brown relations and our journey to empowering our communities.
Thank you for joining the Empowerment Zone. I am your host, Ramona Houston. Today is Family Day. I got my family with me here today. I have my sisters, Dr. Risa Houston, The Future, Dr. Rhonda Houston, Chris, and...
Wait a minute, hold up.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Today is Family Day, and I have my family with me here. I have my sisters, Risa Houston and Rhonda Houston, joining me today. My father always said family is the most important institution in the world. And so I come from a family who are really close to one another, and I am delighted that I share a very loving and affirming relationships with my sisters. Hey, sisters, how y'all doing today?
Hi, good morning.
I would say supportive as well, Ramona.
Yeah.
Loving, affirming, and supportive, because support goes a long way.
Well, I appreciate y'all's support and joining me here today on the Empowerment Zone. I really thought of this subject because a lot of, as you know, the Empowerment Zone is all about the empowerment of our communities, and family is a big aspect of empowerment. So I figured all the three of us could have a nice conversation about what our philosophy is about family and how we get along and how do we handle our challenges when we're not getting along. Just for our audience, I am the oldest of four children. And then next is my sister, Rhonda Houston, who's a year younger than me. And then almost 10 years younger comes my brother Cecil, and then my little baby sister Risa. And so that's our order.
You hear that, little baby sister, guys? I'm grown.
So you'll always be the baby.
So y'all, to tell me how do y'all think our relationship is, and like what is y'all's philosophy like? How do we get along in y'all's opinion, and how do we work out our challenges? So a lot of people, I've had friends who mad at their sister and ain't talked to them in a couple of years, or at least I hear about it and other stuff. I'm just wondering what y'all's philosophy is and why y'all think we have good relationships, or what is the basis of a good relationship if you want to teach the audience about having good relationships.
Well, this is Risa Houston, and you know, I'm always amazed to your example, Ramona, what you said, having friends that, you know, communicate the dynamics of their family, especially their siblings. And I've always found it amazing that mom and dad did such a great job of raising us so that we do have loving relationships, that we learned how to work through conflict and still maintain loving relationships. Now, you know, that's not to say that we all get along all the time. I'll be the first one to say that Ramona in her introduction says she was the oldest. You know, usually she says the prettiest, the smartest, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, I will say as the youngest sibling, after I came of age, it has and continues to be a challenge for me, particularly with my older sister, Ramona, still seeing me as the baby. Right. And in her mind, thinking she has to protect me in all ways, shape, forms in my life. And so that is something that we consistently have to work through. And I have a very sharp mouth and tongue. And so it's not always necessarily the nicest, But Rhonda steps in, and Rhonda typically is the mediator between the two of us, ironically.
Is there anything the matter with trying to protect your little sister? Is there anything the matter with that?
There's nothing wrong with that. But I mean, you know, little sister can handle herself. But nonetheless, with that being said, you know, the dynamic with Rhonda, she typically has always had that very smooth, easygoing demeanor where she don't really deal with none of us. She'll keep it. She keeps it low-key and tells us to, you know, get ourselves together. So
I want to go back to an earlier point you made about mom and daddy just teaching us how to work through our problems. One of my earliest memories, which of working through conflict, was me and Rhonda were tight. In fact, are tight. A lot of people when we were in college used to call us twin because we were always with each other. Like you couldn't separate us except when we had to go to class. But one of the things mama used to make us do when we had challenges with each other, you know, we had to go stand in the corner and
hug and kiss each other.
Yeah, that's what I was just about to say. We had to stand in the corner for a little while to pull ourselves together. And me and Rhonda would always look at each other and stick our tongue out at each other and see who was the last person to stick your tongue out, then you got over. But the thing she would have us to do is always kiss and make up. And I always hated that. She made us kiss each other when we were mad at each other. And I think that is a part of working through that, despite your challenges, you can still love one another.
Rhonda, you heard from me and Ramona. What do you have to say?
Well, I guess it's kind of funny just listening that Ramona's always been very bossy. And I think that's part of the oldest child syndrome. I believe for me as a middle child, I look to the right and I look to the left and I just listen and observe. And a lot of the times you all will try to pull me in and I've always said, well, I'm not in it, or y'all need to figure that out. Or in times that there are conflicts that I'm not present, then I tend to hear from both of you. It still is like looking to the left, looking to the right. And I'm always the one who has to give the advice of, okay, well, maybe she didn't mean it that way. Did you consider this? And end up kind of calming down the flames and putting out fires. And, you know, there might be some conflict or, you know, discord for a day or so, but everything always seems to work itself out where everyone, you know, is right back in our happy place.
Yeah.
So Rhonda's the mediator between me and Risa when we have conflict. Now me and Rhonda we've had a fight before.
Yeah. That was my only physical fight I've ever had.
Was this the shower fight?
The shower fight over some soap.
Okay, y'all, this is not public consumption.
What you the one brought it up?
All I said was we've had a fight before.
Wait, how old were y'all? Let's put it in context.
We were in an elementary school.
Okay, then.
Probably fourth and fifth grade, something like that.
Mm-hmm. Over soap.
But you know, back in the day, yeah. Back in the day, you know, we grew up taking showers and baths together. And I don't know, these days it seems like it's a taboo for children, or you know, as you're getting older. But I mean, I think that's part of what our parents instilled in us, as being confident and comfortable in our own bodies. So mm-hmm. that's a whole nother topic. Mm-hmm. We have some really great parents, or we have really great parents.
Mm-hmm. So what other lessons, Rhonda, would you say we learn from mom and daddy?
Well, I think the highest lesson that we learn from them is unconditional love. And that's not just for us as siblings. It extends to, you know, our family, you know, aunts, uncles, cousins, but it also extends out to our community. And I remember growing up, mommy and daddy always bringing strangers into our home, if you will, just someone that they came across that needed some help for a moment. And they may have stayed with us one night, they may have stayed with us for a week or whatever, but I guess they've always had this type of discerning spirit to know who they could and could not bring around us. And as a result, we've done the same thing. We are constantly, you know, bringing people around us and loving on them. It's like the saying that says, you know, sometimes people come into your life for a reason, a season, or a lifetime. And I think that's something that they instilled in us within the community, and just bringing people into our lives and into our home and loving on them, whether it's for a short while or for a lifetime.
And I think that adds to how we can get through relationships, because of that unconditional love, you know, we're able to see through temporary challenges.
Now I'm gonna say this. Now, it's not like, you know, we are always saints here. It is active work that we have to do as family.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And you know, there are moments of where, you know, our human side might get to us, and we're not necessarily thinking in the most healthy way. However, I can say that generally, if we consult one another, the issue or problem we are facing with the individual, that basically we will help uplift one another to not go to the more negative side, you know, whether we want to hear it in that moment or not. And then eventually we're able to support one another out of having maybe some of the more negative thoughts to transition into something more positive and loving. But that's always, that's oftentimes work of actions, you know, and continued support to make sure we're thinking in a healthy mindset versus a more negative mindset. Does that make sense? Would y'all agree?
I'd agree.
I agree. So, you know, what do you think is the biggest challenge, if you could give advice to people about having healthy relationships, particularly around family members, whether it be immediate family, particularly with immediate family members, what type of advice would you give?
I think it would be two things. One, being able to admit when you're wrong, you know, if you are, but I think also being open to the other person's feelings or comments or suggestions. And just because one person feels one way doesn't mean that you have to agree. So basically, agreeing to disagree. It's okay to disagree. It's okay not to think the same way someone else does, but I think it you have to be respectful in you know, what someone else has to say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, Ramona, I don't know that I have an answer to that. And the reason why I say that is because we grew up in such a healthy home, where we didn't have to deal with traumas. And to not have that knowledge base about, you know, physical or emotional traumas, I can only speak from my experiences. And it allows me to be able to say that, you know, what we've already expressed, like, you know, having unconditional love, being open, you know, being open to another perspective, you know, to Rhonda's point, being able to come to the table and apologize for your wrongdoing. But the wrongdoings that we've done really have not ever truly been traumatic to the human spirit, you know, truly, truly traumatic. And so I don't know that I can offer anything additional to what Rhonda said.
Well, I think one of the keys, which adds to what Rhonda said, is just about, you know, open communication to be able, a lot of people don't express their pain or express their discomfort with their siblings. You know, like, sometimes there are ways that I think that we may hurt each other that we might think is irrelevant. But if that person thinks it's relevant to them, that it hurt their feelings, at least we're open to acknowledge it. Whereas in some relationships, people minimize that. For example, if I say you hurt my feelings, Risa, and whether you think you did or not, stop laughing, whether you think you did or not, you did, and you have to apologize. So that, and at least, you know, you're open to apologizing most of the time. So, and I remember those times that you didn't, but the point is communication is key. You got to be able to communicate to the other person, and communication is a two-way street. The other person ought to be able to accept their faults.
And, you know, and I would add to that, you're going to have to be able to breathe through when somebody is wanting to communicate to you and you don't want to hear a darn thing that they got to say. You just got to breathe through it sometimes. And that's that.
And I must say, we, you know, Risa was talking about trauma and drama in the family. And I do want to acknowledge some family members who I often think about that, you know, I just think are great people. And that is Aunt Ida, Aunt Carrie, and Aunt Georgie. And they are our paternal great, great aunts. They raised five generations and they had eyes of a hawk. And so they were always protecting us from everything. And so, and they always talked about the importance of an education. They always took care of us. There was never any time we didn't have anything to eat. We always knew that they had something to eat. They just took care of us. And I think because of their protection, we didn't have a lot of drama in our household. And so my daddy often, and my Uncle Alan often said that we're the modern version of Aunt Ida, Aunt Carrie, and Aunt George.
You know, and I would say, Ramona, in that, especially with, you know, this past Sunday having been Mother's Day, when you think about alternative, we talk about our aunts, and there are also alternative parents, you know, there are alternative mothers for us. You know, I didn't call Aunt Ida Aunt Ida, I called her Mama Ayu, you know, or Mama Ida. You know, that's how close our bond was. And I think that it goes on to say just the importance of having extended family and the support of that dynamic to help raise, you know, families. And like, you know, here it is. Was it you or Rhonda talked about mama and daddy bringing, you know, other people into our house consistently. I would say that, you know, being around our great, great aunts. Well, I mean, when we were in elementary school, they were in their 70s and 80s. You know, it also allowed us to be comfortable with being around older people, mm-hmm. you know, and it allowed us to not, I can't tell you how many people are just intimidated, scared, uncomfortable being around senior citizens versus myself. I seem to be drawn to them even now because I feel like early on, we were exposed to senior citizens and we understood their human side, understood their nurturing side, that they don't make us, even to this day, older people don't make me uncomfortable. I gravitate towards them.
Well, you know, in addition to being around Inanna and Karen and Georgie, we also, like in the scouts or the dance class, mommy always exposed us to the nursing homes. And so we would go around the elderly there. And so everybody hasn't been into a nursing home to kind of see that dynamic either. So I think that our parents exposed us to a lot that, you know, maybe most people don't have that exposure to.
I agree with you all that, you know, and even beyond Ayana and Carrie and Aunt Georgie, you know, mom and daddy used to send me and Rhonda off to stay with our older family members for weeks at a time during the summer, you know.
They didn't like y'all as much as they liked me and Lisa.
Y'all was too bad to stay at the home. Embarrassing my parents. But anyway, they always took us around them. And also, Rhonda, when people passed, you know, were getting ready to pass, and they would ask to come stay with us and die in our homes. And I used to hate that. Why, you know, people come and die with us? And mom and dad explained, people want, when their last days, they want to be around loving people and loving family members. And we had older people in our house all the time, to Rhonda's point. But also, I would also add to Risa, your point about Ayana, Karen, and Georgie, just like our family, our parents were very accepting of strangers. Ayana, Karen, and Georgie were not, you know, so they were very protective of us at all times. Nobody was, you know, permitted.
Good enough.
And permitted to be around us that weren't family, you know. So you have any favorite time you want to share that you have with as siblings? Any favorite times y'all want to share that y'all have with me? Or we've had together.
It's so many, sister.
You know,
how do you pick just one?
I can say I know of, I could think of two favorite times. I'm gonna go with the most recent. It's me, you, mom, and daddy, and Terrion, and we watched the Bruno Mars. You remember?
That was in Curacao.
At that jazz festival. I think that that was a much of a favorite time for me, just it having that experience with all of you guys. You know, nothing big. It was just that experience. The second one was when me and Cecil were in undergrad and we went to Mexico City. Now, in the In the moment, it wasn't necessarily a favorite, but the whole experience as a whole, I mean, we found ourselves in with a questionable taxi driver where we were being driven somewhere. We didn't know where we were going, but we knew it wasn't where we were supposed to be going. And so we started talking. Of course, typically we would try
Ebonics.
To talk
Spanish.
No, it was AT Elliot. It wasn't Ebonics. It was AT Elliot.
We started talking straight AT Elliot.
Because I didn't understand it.
On what we was going to do and how we were going to get out of this situation. And, you know, it was shot of this, shot of that, you know, and it was real fast, you know, where we had to figure out what we were trying to figure things out. And so that was one moment. Also in Mexico City, getting on the train at high traffic, at a rush hour where the train is packed to the maximum and trying to navigate that, which... you know, wasn't very well. And then the last thing in Mexico City, going to Medusa's nightclub and dancing all night long at that nightclub. That was an amazing, those moments were phenomenal.
Shout out to Lorenzo Cano, who was assistant director of the University of Houston Center for Mexican American Studies, who sponsored that trip. That's when we went on that trip, and we had a blast. That was fun.
Yeah.
I wasn't there.
Reese, yeah. Ronnie, you got any favorite family moments you want to share?
I can't really think of anything. And the first thing that came up was Cecil. I think we were leaving a soccer game. I don't know if it was Reese's soccer game or Cecil's soccer game. And we had just purchased a video camera. So that's when video cameras were really popular. And we were in this really wooded area. And so we dramatized slavery and running through all those woods as slaves, and Cecil was recording, and I don't know, Risa, if you were running with us and we were trying to help you, and Ramona and I, we were running through the woods, and then Cecil started barking like a dog was after us,
and then I fell,
and then Ramona did the all-time horror movie scene where you fall, and then she was on the ground like she was swimming, trying to get up but couldn't get up, and we just had such a good time filming that slavery moment, if you will.
If we could find that film, that would be hilarious.
I'm
that's not
pretty
to make,
sure I know
that's
where
not
it
to
is.
Make light of slavery. That is not to make light of slavery. That was just us being silly.
Having a family moment. Yeah. You know what? Speaking of filming, Rhonda, you made me think of another one that is inclusive of you. You giving birth to, was that Diara? Jamel or Diara? That was.
If you were there, it was Diara.
That was Diara wide open.
And Ramona, you remember Cecil was in there filming and you were given the play-by-play. You remember?
Yeah.
You were given the play-by-play and Cecil was filming again. You were the commentator given the play-by-play and we were filming Rhonda's birth. And you don't remember that?
Yeah, I do. I do vaguely.
Do you,
Rhonda? Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And that goes back to our parents instilling confidence in our bodies. That my brother was filming me giving childbirth to my second child, but my oldest daughter. Yeah, that was quite a moment.
Yeah, that was hilarious.
May the universe bring those videos back to us.
Amen.
It is done.
Well, y'all, it's been a blast talking to y'all this morning and just giving some sisterly love and sisterly support and sisterly advice. Anything y'all want to leave with our audience?
I would say, I don't know necessarily for the audience, I'll just say thank you for inviting me on again this time with my other sister to have this conversation. You know, it's always great being able to just kind of talk to you guys and reminisce. So.
Yeah, I'd like to thank you as well for having me on as a guest, sister.
Yes,
this was fun.
Your first time, this was Rhonda's first appearance on the Empowerment Zone. I really appreciate you all coming on. Maybe next time your hair be done and you'll be dressed so we can put this out on video.
Yes, my hair will be done.
I plead the fifth.
All right. Well, I'd love to have you all back if y'all ever want to talk about family stuff.
Yes, part two.
Part two. Okay, so let's do part two soon. Thank y'all so
much. Maybe you can ask your listeners to send in what they may want to hear us discuss in part
two. Okay, that's a good one. I'll put that out on my social media to say what do y'all want to hear us talk about next. That'll be a good one for part two.
All right.
Well, great having you all. Thank you so much. And I look forward to having y'all back on the Empowerment Zone.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you, sister. Love you. Love y'all.
Love you too.
A special thank you to the incredible team of the Empowerment Zone. Terry Ungully, theme song. NADWORKS, digital support. And of course, our featured guest.
If you enjoyed my podcast, please subscribe. We are on all of your favorite podcast platforms. Be sure to rate us on Apple Podcasts too. Thank you for your continued support.